Hello, middle-aged gamers! The end of the year is fast approaching and Adam and Antoine now reflect on the best game they have in backlog and have another chance to play it. Which games will it be? Listen and discover for yourself. Do stay until the end for we talk in our weekly news update of the Game of the Year award. Do you agree with them? Let us know in the comments on our YouTube channel. Apologies for the sounds through this video as we had a little recording issue this week. Thank you and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome back to another exciting episode of Middle Age Gaming. Last week's entries aside, it's been a great year and we've had a lot of fun. But unfortunately, we've been gaining two new hosts, losing Crean for an extended period of time, and burning ourselves out on BlueStacks. So between all those things, we have barely put a dent in our backlog. Which brings us to today's topic, Antoine.
Yes, so as you know, and of course you know because we are repeating every week, there is Steam sales all the time. There are epic free games every week or every month. So that means that we have a number of games in the backlog, which is insane. And I am a very good student there because I may have like maybe five games I haven't played in my 70, 80 games on my Steam library. Some of my friends are like 30 to 50 games back. So, hey, I'm not that bad compared to some others. But yeah, we have tons and tons of games in the backlog. And so this time we decided to talk about these and which one excites us the most, even though we are still not playing it. Because, you know, we need to add a bit of logic in this world. So I'm not going to complain that we never have time and we need a 30 hours day instead of 24 and everything. So I will let Adam start with the first game, which is...
Okay, so my first game, hang on, we're sliding over here, is going to be Death Stranding, which I think is actually kind of appropriate because they just came out a few weeks ago with the director's cut. And in a way, I was actually kind of waiting for that, but I'll get into that in a bit. So to start off, Death Stranding is made by Kojima Productions. It was published by Sony Interactive Entertainment for the PS4, and for the PC, it was published by 505 Games. It originally released on November 8th, 2019, and I got it for Christmas 2019, and I still haven't played it 2 years later because there's just been that many games that I've had to catch up on. And when I did hear that they were making a director's cut, which was around the time that they announced the Ghost of Tsushima director's cut as well, then I thought, you know what, at this point, I might as well just wait for that. I mean, I did the same thing with Final Fantasy XV, where it was in my backlog for so long, and then finally they came out with the Royal Edition. I was like, you know what, I'll just get the upgrade and just play the full game. And so now I'm going to do the same thing here with Death Stranding. So the director's cut came out on September 24th, 2021, and I still haven't gotten to it, but it should be able to get to it soon. As far as genre goes, it's kind of a weird one. A lot of people call this like the quintessential walking simulator, but the premise of the game is in the future, there's been some disaster, lots of people have died, there's not too many people left, and of the people that are left, they're very isolated. So in some ways, it's kind of similar to what we're experiencing with COVID-19, or at least what we were with quarantine. And basically, your main character, it's his job to maintain some form of communication between these different isolated outposts. You know, he's kind of a delivery man. He takes what people need from point A and takes them to point B. And so he's a very special kind of person in this world. And that's pretty much the game, is you carrying goods from point A to point B. As you can see, there's quite a bit of hiking, climbing, and of course there's going to be some intrigue and weird Kojima shenanigans along the way, you know, babies that help you resurrect and ghost people walking around, and Guillermo del Toro is in it. So yeah, it's looked pretty good, and the more I watch the trailers, the more interesting it looks, because it's just kind of like all sorts of Kojima oddness, and I really enjoy that sort of thing. So for me, it's going to be really interesting. I always like his lore because he's just kind of way out there. And between him and Yoko Taro, there's always just all sorts of bizarre philosophies to explore and whatnot. But yeah, so I'm going to be playing this one, hopefully this next year, like as I said, because the director's cut is out, so now I can get the full version. As far as will we be getting sequels to this game? I don't know. I'm going to have to play it and find out, because I've been pretty good. I'm usually the kind of person who likes to look up spoilers, but I've been pretty good about not looking up too much on this game. I know the basic idea of it. I know some of the cameos in it. For instance, Conan, the late night host, is in the game. If you can watch his special where he goes there and they like scan his face and everything, and he's got just a really kind of random cameo in it. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one. So I think this is the first Kojima game since leaving Konami. So
yeah, exactly. That's what I wanted to say. And it's a Hideo Kojima game, which is why I did not buy it.
You don't like Kojima games?
No, you know me, I'm still very annoyed at how MGS5 ended. He left without finishing the game, and that pissed me off. And also, I never like, you know, having like the game in chapters with Hideo Kojima all over the screens at every chapter.
He does that.
They don't do that in Death Stranding, though. So. I watched the game, and actually, I was wondering, because this game, I'm not going to spoil the lore. For one good reason, is because it's so complicated that I can't actually remember everything. Quite a lot of it, actually. And I was wondering, what's the difference between the previous edition and the director's cut? What do they add, some odd scene that they cut or something like this? Like, I don't imagine it's a Zack Snyder Batman 5-hour movie.
Yeah, no, I think they just added some content. Because there wasn't any DLC, so I think they just kind of like the Ghost of Tsushima, where they've enhanced some things, and I think they might have even added a few scenes or kind of fleshed out certain areas a little bit more than maybe they had been previously.
Because this time, the story is well-rounded, and when it's finished, it's finished. I don't think there will be a number two.
Okay.
I don't see how they would do that. Or again, I don't remember the story in detail, but in my mind, no, there wouldn't be a DLC or, you know, something after the original story. I don't see it happening. But so as you described it, and I think a lot of my friends described it the same, this game could have been subtitled UPS, the game. Because yeah, that's exactly this. UPS in an apocalyptic world. It's very fun to watch, to play. I don't know. I know that there's a lot. I can't spoil too much because I know that you haven't played it, but yeah, just know that there is quite a big notion put on collecting stuff, whether it's collecting it in the wild or through quests, and you need to do every single secondary quest because is basically crossing America from east to west. Being an American yourself, you can imagine the trip.
Yeah.
On foot.
Mostly on foot.
In an apocalyptic world. So that's, you know, quite the adventure. And you saw maybe in the trailer that there is some vehicles at some point in the game, and you need to collect stuff to actually create a road, a highway from east to west, so that you don't have to walk the whole time after, because it gets very tiring very fast. And it is very long, you know, like you're not just, you know, like going, you know, like even crossing France on foot would be long. So I can't even imagine the US, it would take like months or years or anything. So
it takes a long time. Yeah. People have done it, but yeah, it takes a long time.
Yeah, it's like Forrest Gump.
Well, he ran most of it, so
exactly. But in any case, yeah, it's a very convoluted story. You like or you don't like. I liked some part of it, not everything, because that wasn't really my kind of story, even though the world is quite interesting. I had a lot of trouble understanding how the monster in this game works. You know, why sometimes they're invisible, why some... Even now, I know I watch the stream, I watch the whole game, and I know that Norman Reedus, that you of course know for Walking Dead, is special in this world. He's even more special than most. And I remember a bit why, at least I know his origin, which makes him special, But again, this is very, very complicated. So if you want to stream this one, I think I will rewatch the stream just to try to remember the story a bit more.
Yeah, the plan is to stream this one. I don't know how long it's going to take, but we'll have to see.
Long.
Yeah, long.
I recall it was long. Because again, you really have to do all the secondary quests if you want to put the highway, and I just can't stress how important it is to do the highway so you can just take your bike or a truck and zzz.
Yeah.
You can't zoom when you don't have the highway. There's rocks everywhere. You bump into everything and just doesn't work. So when you have a nice, clean, straight highway, like, oh, heavens, yay.
Well, I'm the kind of guy who likes to clear out all the side quests anyway, so that was probably going to be what I ended up doing anyway. And if you've watched the... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's just I'm thinking right now, but I can't remember. I don't think there's any fast travel in this game.
Probably not. I don't think so.
I don't think so. You really have to use a highway from east to west, west to east every time. So sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, if you've watched my streams, I've been playing Horizon Zero Dawn, and the idea was I was like, okay, I'm going to streamline this main quest. And yeah, that has not happened. I am getting distracted every 5 feet, and it's like, oh, there's a bandit camp. This will only take a second. You know? Like, oh, there's a trails. Thunderjaw. I don't have to kill it, but I'm tempted to. So,
To get all the blazing suns.
Yeah, exactly. So I think what I'm gonna, what I've decided to do is, I'll go to the trials, but I'll complete the trials offline. I finished them all online so far. I think I've gotten, or no, I've been to three, and I've completed two of them online, and I finished the third one offline. I think I'll skip those and just do those offline. But
It's extremely important in Horizon Zero Dawn again to do these side quests trials.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't really have a leveling system. Your leveling system is your weapons. At some point when you finish the hunting cabin, you have this this massive weapon which basically take off all the weapon from a Thunder Joe, and you just in front is poof, poof, come here now.
The
whole game. And then it makes the game that much easier. So,
yeah, and then also in the final fight of that one, they have, depending on the side quests you've completed, different people will show up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but that was, honestly, I was a little bit disappointed. Because
doesn't make just any difference.
Exactly. I made it without the quest and with the quest just to see how helpful they are. And
it's just dialogue.
Useless. Absolutely useless, yeah.
Yeah, it's just purely for dialogue. Because the first time I finished it, I missed one quest, and then I went back, and I just never had visited that one space, and so I had never accessed that quest. But I was like, I'm missing somebody, because I didn't get the trophy for it. And then I went back, and I did it, and I was like, oh, yeah, that didn't change anything. It's just she's there, and you're like, hey, thanks for showing up. Oh, no problem. That was it.
I'm noticing that when it's just the two of us, we tend to digress a lot. Huh?
We do. But
we need Phil or Korean to keep us on the rails.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, so that's me for Death Stranding. I believe Antoine is up next. So how about you tell us about your game that you're looking forward to playing next year?
Of course. And I'm up next because there's no one else anyway. So I really want to find some time to play Mountain Blade 2 Bannerlord. And I'm going to be very obvious there. It's a sequel of Bannerlord, of... Mountain Blade 1, Warband. Hey, 2 follow 1. Thank you, Captain Obvious. I'm done for the stream. I can't drop the mic because it's attached, but I really want to. So here, this game is extremely full. So for once, I made a cheat sheet, which I never do. And you can hear it in my voice. Usually, I completely improvise what I'm going to say. Here, I took this because I don't know how to qualify this game. First of all, I'm going to start with the fact that, let me just skip my notes, Bannerlord is edited by Tellworlds and Koch Media, and I'm going to forget that right away. It's a game which was launched a closed beta in 2019 and is in early access since 2020, March or April or something like this. So, and it's not planned to release before at the earliest, Q2 2022. So if we are lucky, next summer, if we're lucky, very more likely Q3 or Q4, so maybe for next Christmas, which is a shame. And that's why I haven't That's my excuse. I haven't played it because it's not finished. It's not fully released. That's an excuse, of course. No, I haven't played it as well because, yeah, I haven't played it yet because this is an extremely rich game which is going to ask me hundreds of hours. I know it. It's going to be extremely full because you start, I don't know if I should, sometimes I'm going to mention Skyrim because it looks a bit like it at some point, as you can see in the battles right now. But it's so different and the same at the same time. I don't know how to qualify it. You start, you are a nobody. You have, I should mention, there's both a campaign and a sandbox part of this game. And you have 8 different factions, from Mongols, from Russians. You have the Empire with 3 different factions which are more European-like. I think you have one civilization which is more like Arabic. And they have all their own differences. I don't know anything about the campaign, so I'm going to talk about the sandbox. That's everything in this game. You start, you are nobody, and you need to go to some village to do some little quest to raise your relationship, and you recruit. So first of all, things you can recruit people to fight with you. So you start with 1 or 2 guys on horse or on foot, and you go clear some bandit camp. And that's the very beginning of the game. At the end, from what I see, you lead armies on the field, and you are all dressed up with wicked armor, and you can craft your weapons. From what I understand at the moment, I don't know if it will be there for the final release, you can't craft armors, weapons only. And I understand this is kind of cheated in the game at the moment. As long as you know the recipe for the two-handed sword, you can just craft it and sell it for mass amount of money, and you destroy the economy with this. But in there you have this notion of combat, which is a very big important aspect of the game. It's a mix between Skyrim and Total War. I know it's a very weird mix, but you have your allies on the field like in a Total War, but you control your character. You can control it in any way you want. If you want to use a sword, a pole arm, a long distance crossbow or whatever, you can choose if you want to be on a horse. So I think the horse is quite compulsory, if I understand. At the beginning, you saw, actually, it just reminds me, I have my cheat sheet, but still I'm watching that. You have tournaments to raise your reputation, to raise your money. So here you start from just having a couple of colleagues to leading armies. And here you have a couple of things which are very important, is that the economy, you will need money, and you need influence, diplomacy. As I said, there are factions which are kingdoms, and you need to help your kingdom, whichever you choose, to rise and take power and conquer the other civilization, as in civilization, if you will, but it's an action RPG, imagine. So you need to have influence within the court of your kingdom so that you can influence people. When you take a castle, you can maybe bribe or with your influence try to earn to manage the keep, to manage the fief, they call it, or something like this, which include maybe a castle, a village, something like this. And you can assign governors to it. And I forgot to mention, you go from village to village at the beginning of the game. You meet companions in there, which are basically your lieutenants. You can assign them to roles in your army. They will be your generals. They can be your governors when you have castles. So you have to manage your influence at court to expand your territories. And just saying this, can you imagine how rich this game is? It's really important. Let me check if I missed something. You can craft, you have tournaments, you can recruit your troops. You recruit your generals, your lieutenant, you can craft. I forgot the most important 2 things. First, with battles, I talked about the battles on a field, like 2 armies, boom, classic. You also have siege. So I said you can have castles, you have to siege a castle to take it, or you have to defend it. And that's quite what is a big issue they have at the moment, is AI are even worse than brain dead. that are extremely stupid by putting their, you know, one ladder and with one guy at a time climbing on the ladder, and they are not efficient at all. And you are basically the commander looking like, what the hell is he doing? you're a bit like this, like face-palming yourself like this, like, guys, no! When you see the castle, you have artillery action, you know, with trebuchet and trebuchet?
Trebuchet.
Catapult, things like this. If you are on the castle walls, you have these big scorpions-like arbalets, like these giant arbalets to shoot enemies. It's extremely rich, but of course, it's still an early access. There's still a lot of issues, as I mentioned, AI, as I mentioned, economy has to be reworked. There's still a lot of work to do, which is why it's not going to be released for at least 6-8 months to a year. So they know they have a lot of work to do, even though it has been in early access since a year. And that's what we talked about before in one of our previous podcasts. It's good. Take your time. You know, this is going to be a great game. And, you know, take your time to put a little touch to it, which is going to make it very nice. Right now here, you have character creation on the screen. You can create your character, which is excellent again. I compared it to Skyrim because I quickly looked on the Nexus. If you like to mod your game, there's already hundreds of mods. Visuals, tactics. Again, the game is not finished yet, so people are taking upon themselves to, you know, fix it because they don't want to wait. And that's fantastic. It's great. So big kudos on this game. I really want to play it. One reason also, I haven't played it yet, and I don't know if it's me or if it wasn't finished or not. I think it's just me, but I played the tutorials and it was extremely hard for me to adapt to the controls. You know, I played with my mouse and keyboard, and I found it super hard for me to simply fight in the tutorial. I just couldn't, it wasn't intuitive for me. I really had big problems with it. I felt like I was moving a giant tanker or semi-truck on the highway. I really had a big trouble with it. So I don't know if it would be better with a pad or if it's just that I didn't assign my keys properly on the keyboard. I don't know. But for me, the tutorials at this time, it just didn't really work, and it didn't make me want to go start a game if I can't control my character properly. Again, not sure if it's a game or if it's just me.
Yeah,
I want to call myself an experienced player, so I have seen quite a lot of controls, so I don't think it's only me.
Yeah, well, that was one thing that they were saying with The Witcher 3 was when it came out, obviously the previous Witchers had been on PC and then ported to consoles, but Witcher 3 had been designed with consoles in mind, and so it was designed to be played on a gamepad, and some people were saying that the mouse and keyboard controls as a result just weren't as good. So I'm looking it up. It says that this game, they do plan on releasing it for console at some point. So it might be one of those things.
I think it's Windows only. Yeah.
Currently.
At first it was PC.
Yeah, they don't do early access on consoles. So let's see. It says,
again, for people out there, you like Skyrim on console? You never played Skyrim because you have to play on computer with the mods.
Yeah, with the mods. That's the thing.
Played Skyrim until you played with his mods.
Yeah, so here it says, let's see, Mountain Blade 2 Bannerlord was officially confirmed to be coming for consoles, though it is presently unclear whether that means next gen only or not, in addition to PC. So it is coming to consoles. So it might be one of those things where they thought, you know what, most PC players have a gamepad, and if we're going to release it on console, you know, it's going to have a gamepad, so let's just design it with gamepad in mind from the get-go and save ourselves
possible,
a lot of trouble.
But I'll just retry when it's the official release is there. So I'll see if I can control it, I'll put a pad. But I never played really much with a pad on my computer. Usually I use my PlayStation pad, and I don't feel it very adapted to it. I see a lot of people use the Xbox pad. Maybe that's something I should invest in.
It's
when
entirely
I'm on my computer, I like my mouse and keyboard.
Yeah. It's entirely up to preference. I like symmetric controls. I know some people like the asymmetric. It depends on how you hold your controller. So
that really depends on the game. Like, for instance, the Tales of, like the Berseria, I have to play it on the pad because you can't, even if it's on Steam on computer, playing with mouse and keyboard that tells off, of course, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
So it really depends on the game. And I'm not sure if it was just me or maybe just the game, but it's something to try again. And again, I'm extremely hyped with this game, extremely scared of the amount of time I'm going to put into it once I know how to manipulate this. But yeah, it sounds going to be really, really, really fun. Just look at these battles.
This is on Steam, correct?
This is on Steam, absolutely, yes.
Okay, if you want to get a pad, you might want to think about the DS5, just because Steam now supports haptic feedback, and I don't think too many other controllers currently have that in the DS5, so...
DS5, what is it? Like
that,
PS5?
That's the PS5 controller, yeah, has the haptic feedback. I know that there will be more in the future, but currently... that one's supposed to be the best one for haptic feedback. But that's, again, assuming that this game supports haptic feedback. So who knows?
Yes, because if I recall, don't quote me on that. It has to be checked. But if I recall, Warbands, so number one, was released in 2012, I think. And the two here ran on the same engine. So,
oh, wow.
If you think it's ugly, it's normal. It's ugly. Doesn't look extremely good, and that's why on the mods you have massive amount of mods which are just to make it look prettier, same as in Skyrim, which was what, 2013 or 2014, and if you play it now you have lots of mods to make it look like it's a nearly next gen console. So
looking at it, I would say that graphically it looks really beautiful. For me, the only thing that stands out is the animations look very old. Like, you see the guys like running around, his feet are just kind of sliding everywhere he moves, you know, like if he's running sideways, his feet kind of slide. So I mean, graphically it looks great, but yeah, it's you can definitely see with the animations that it's an older engine. That's where it stands out.
Yeah, let's be nice, they still have a year to work on it.
Even then,
if you want to take 2 years, take it anyway. We have lots of games in the backlog.
Even then, for me, I'm not a stickler for graphics, so you know, as long as something looks pretty enough. For example, what's that other game? Outward, which is supposed to be like super in-depth, but it looks like a PS2 game. But still, it's like super fun because everything is like, you know, really deep. You know, like if you go out in the desert, you have to wear the right clothing or you'll overheat, and you have to make sure that you always bring bedding or your character gets too tired, and you have to camp occasionally. And so it's a lot of fun, but it is a lot of work. Now, I do have a question, though, because so this is an ARPG. That was one thing when I was watching the trailer. I was like, okay, is this supposed to be like an RPG, or is this supposed to be like a Mordhau kind of thing, or?
It's, yeah, that's the point. It's a bit everything. It's an ARPG definitely for the fight, but there's still a notion of strategy. You know, like I was mentioning Civilization, because you have to extend your borders. So it's a bit of everything. I love the concept, you know, the mix and match.
Yeah, they just didn't have any
graphics.
Yeah,
you are talking about the graphics. That's good for me because I have a 1660S, which is not the most powerful card around. So as long as it runs on it, I'm happy. Because all the new games which gonna, you know, need a 3060 or something like this, like an RTX card to run, I'm gonna be like, no, I'm gonna run on low and it doesn't work.
Yeah,
and
I think
with this I'm happy.
Yeah, I think being an older gamer in some ways kind of makes that easier, because, you know, we came from a generation where, you know, when Final Fantasy VII came out, everyone was like, oh my god, these graphics are amazing, right? And then same thing with Morrowind. When Morrowind came out, it's like, oh my god, it looks so real. And like, you look at it now and Morrowind's like, oh my gosh. Like
look,
Oblivion.
At these pixels.
Yeah. Oblivion doesn't look that bad. But Morrowind, you know, is really dated. But I think for us, having that being kind of our base,
benchmark.
You know, yeah, and then everything, yeah, so anything above that looks really good, so this still looks really good. I mean, for younger gamers, maybe where you know, Skyrim is the lowest level, they're like, this is basic, you know, like, so to them this looks basic, but to us this looks like pretty good. So
remember Wipeout?
Yeah, the really fast kind
was
of racing game.
PlayStation 1, I think, or something. When I saw Wipeout when I was a kid, I was like, oh my god, that's the most beautiful thing ever.
I know, yeah.
With a little tear, I was like, oh my god, so beautiful.
Yeah, so graphically, I'm not too worried about this. I can definitely get myself past that. But yeah, I was just looking at it because I was like, they didn't have any dialogue or anything like that. So I wasn't sure if it was supposed to be a story-driven or if it was more like a more open-ended adventure-style game.
There are stories, but again, I haven't played this, so I need to check. There is campaign and there are stories, but it's kind of you move from village to village, taverns to taverns, and you talk to people. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly how it interacts there, but that's how you recruit your lieutenants. That's how you get the quests. You have to walk on the map with your horse to go to some villages to get a quest. And unfortunately, I don't have much to say on it because I don't really know how it works. Just know that's where you gather stuff. So I don't know if the lore is very important yet or if it has been puffed out, because I know that a lot of people like simply the sandbox mode. Mm. No campaign, just start, recruit, kill bandits, work your way up. Become the king, lead your nation, and crush the empire.
Yeah, the only other question I have is this single player only, or is this multiplayer? Because some of the big battles, sometimes you'll see like little highlights over some of the heads. So I'm like, is that a team, or are those your units? Or
exactly, that's your units.
Okay.
Because at first, you know, you only have two or three against two or three bandits, so it's better to know which one I use because they all look like crap. You know,
right.
So guys you're recruiting off the street, and they are all have just a gray shirt and you don't know. So none of that's multiplayer. I don't know, and I actually don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's one play only.
Okay, because yeah, looking
but
at some
could
of these
be fun if you...
yeah that's fine. It was just,
it could be fun.
Yeah, I was just looking at some of these battles, and it looks kind of like it reminded me a lot of Mordhau, and how that was basically like supposed to be kind of a bigger version of For Honor in a way. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, okay, are these supposed to be like big battles? Is this like another Mordhau kind of thing, or is this different? But if it's different, that's kind of interesting that this might be for like the kind of people that who had looked at Mordhau and they're like, that looks like a fun game, but PvP, I kind of suck.
Well, we'll see, but for now the battle animations to me really looks scary, like, you know, like you
are, yeah, it's just kind of like a, yeah, kind of these slow kind of like, yeah, really,
yeah,
wide
one
swings
movement for the
sword,
one movement for the, yeah, exactly. So not maybe the best. It's not a combat simulator.
Okay.
let's be clear on that, at least for now.
Okay.
At least for now.
It does look like it would be a fun co-op kind of game, though, if you could maybe get like one or two friends and go in together and just kind of like clear out castles. I mean,
make your own squadron. Yeah,
yeah, that does look like it would be fun for a co-op mode, or for like some of these sieges and stuff. But yeah, we'll see. I don't think it's, but again, it's in beta, so who knows? And I know people have modded Skyrim for that, so maybe they can mod it in.
It's in an early access.
Right.
Not beta.
Oh right, early access. Yeah, because it's totally different, right?
Absolutely.
It's a paid beta.
semantics.
Yeah.
What's an early access? A paid beta. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's a beta you pay for, basically.
You just pay a discount for the official release.
Yeah, with early access, I feel like it's a mixed bag. I feel like it works really well for multiplayer games. So for something like PUBG, it works fine. Or for Fortnite, it would work fine. But I feel like when it comes to like RPGs and stuff like that, I don't think I would want to do it. Just because, like, for instance, Baldur's Gate 3 is an early access. But it's one of those things where it's like you can play through half the story and then you have to stop. And then when it finally does release, you can finish the story. And I feel like I would rather just wait and play the story one time through rather than play half of it and then wait 2 years and then finish it. You know, that's me, personally.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's absolutely understandable. But at the same time, I prefer that they are clean and upfront with this.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than having Final Fantasy 15 saying it's an official release. Now you have a beta. And then you release 2 years later the DLC, which should have been included, and you still make us play the full price.
Yeah.
Watching at you, Square Enix. Not good.
Yeah, the sandbox, I can understand being early access. I get that, because that's all gameplay stuff. So I have no problem with gameplay early access. I just don't like story early access, I guess would be the way to say
Agreed.
It.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah, that's why it worked very well with Subnautica, because that's, sandbox kind of game. So I think we went around quite enough about this game. So you, si since
I do have a second
Phil and
one.
Chris were maybe here, but we never really know if they are coming or not, Adam had a great idea to have a backup game. And
Yes.
well, I think that was a very good idea.
Yeah, I always have a backup just in case. I tend to over prepare. So
So
my
go on. What
so
was
my
your
backup
backup game?
game is .hack/GU Last Recode. And this is another game where I got this actually the same year that I got Death Stranding for Christmas. So I got both these games for Christmas 2019, and both of them are still sitting in the backlog. So these are actually, I think, the last two physical games that I have. I don't think I've gotten a physical game since these two. I think these were the last two times I got a physical game. But anyway, .hack/GU Last Recode, if you're unfamiliar with .hack, it's a franchise that started way back in, I guess, the early 2000s, maybe the late 90s. I think the early 2000s. And there was a show, .hack Sign. And basically, this is the original Sword Art Online. So if, for people who have been playing Sword Art or people who like Sword Art
Really?
Online, .hack did this first, okay? And I don't even think they're the first ones to really do this idea, because I don't remember. I think it might have come out before The Matrix, but I'm not sure. But basically, the idea is there is a an online game called The World. And what happens is something goes wrong with it. I don't remember exactly what, but something goes wrong with it, and then they basically have to shut it down and then release The World 2. And so all these people are playing this game, but then there's this virus, or there's this thing in the game that what'll happen is the player goes comatose, and they are stuck as a player in the game, and as a character in the game. And in the original show, the main character, the entire show is basically done within the game, and the main character, Tsubaka, I think is the name, cannot
Ah,
log
Scott
out of the game.
Kirito, okay.
Huh? No, it's not Kirito.
Scott Kirito, no, at
Tsubaka
least.
is stuck in the game, but they don't realize that they are in a game. To them, this is the real world. So it's kind of an isekai at the same time. So everybody else realizes this is a game, but then they notice that this one player is logged in 24 hours a day, and they're kind of wondering why do
Sounds
people
cool.
like So it's kind of a mystery as to figuring out why is this person, because at the time it's just the one person stuck in the game. And so the mystery is trying to figure out why is this person stuck in the game? Why can't they leave? Who are they in the real world? And then so they started with .hack Sign, and then you had .hack Liminality, and then they had the original .hack Games. And then they went to .hack Roots, which was kind of a reboot of the system. And .hack/GU follows the characters from the .hack Roots show.
So
And
which one are you talking about now?
so this one is
GU?
the .hack GU follows the second show, basically. And what happens was this was originally a PS2 game. So there was an original trilogy. The characters solved the problem, and then something went wrong with the world again. Then you get .hack/GU, and they remade the second trilogy. But Last Recode is actually a compilation of all three games. So for the price of one game, you get all three PS2 games. And that's part of the reason.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why I put it off, was because like for when I remember when a long time ago Mass Effect 2 was free on PS Plus. And I figured, you know what? I'm going to play through the trilogy. So I bought Mass Effect 1 and Mass Effect 3, and I played through all three games back to back, and it took a long time. And so I'm like,
I did
"Oh,
it too. It's cool.
it was great, but I'm like, do I really want to invest the time?" So like normally I would do it, but with streaming, I'm like, do people really want to watch me stream three games in a row from the same franchise? It's gonna take forever.
You're trying to take, to play on your own time as well. It's
Yeah,
not like
exactly. So it's one of
streamers.
those things. No, I know. And this one was definitely one of the ones where I would be not streaming the entire story, because that would take forever. I would just stream on my normal days, and wherever I am, I just have to, people have to accept the fact that they missed part of the story. But yeah, so the game's kind of interesting because these games were designed as, this was around the time, I think the first games came out around the same time as World of Warcraft, give or take. And so these games, they're RPGs, but they're designed to play like MMOs. And so you get your character, you have your party members, but you don't necessarily control them. You go on raids, you go to do boss fights, you know, you do all this stuff, at least in the original trilogy. And then you can, and then in the game, they have all the features of, because, you know, these characters are not locked in the game. These characters can still leave. But you have all the access, like you have bulletin board systems, you have forums, you have email. And so you can access all these things in the game. And so the game plays out, you know, you're playing out in this game world, but occasionally you'll get emails from other players and they'll say, hey, meet me here and stuff like that. So so it is kind of interesting because you're playing through it, it's, yeah, it's like an RPG, but you're playing the MMO. It's kind of interesting. I've been looking forward to this one for a long time. I really liked the original show and I always wanted to play the original trilogy and I never got around to it. And when I found out that they were doing the remaster of this trilogy, I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to pick this up. And they said that if sales were good, they would probably do a remaster of the original trilogy as well. However, they have not done that yet. So, but yeah, this game originally came out in 2017, I believe. So, you know, when I got it, it was already 2 years old, and then I haven't played it since then. But yeah, I like the idea that they combine three games. This is what I think they should do more when they do these remasters. It's kind of like this, sort of the Uncharted collection, where you take multiple games together and just put them in a pack, you know, so you can kind of play through the whole thing.
Yeah, you should go to Humble Bundle then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can see here, they're listing out all the different games in the franchise, Yeah.
I see it's a Bandai Namco, so already very good label. You know, that's a mark of quality. You said that this is a remaster of the second trilogy. Do you need to know the basic story of the first trilogy? Or is that okay to just start the second trilogy? It helps, hey?
It helps. If you don't need to, but for example, they'll show in the trailer, there's kind of this... it's kind of like a shadowy looking figure. And if you have played the original trilogy, you would know that that is looks it. So basically all the characters are different classes, but you would know that class is basically the thief class. But specifically, that is a corruption of the main character. That one right there that you're looking at, that is a basically a corrupted version of the main character from the original trilogy. So the original character was Kite, and I think in this one it's called Dark Kite. But basically, because Kite and his crew defeated whatever entity or whatever was, you know, corrupting the system, it figured, I will just copy those characters and then create my own copies of them. Since they defeated me, if I can mimic them, yeah, I'll be stronger. So it's kind of using corrupted versions of the characters from the original game. So if you've played the original one, you'll appreciate it more, but you don't need to understand what's going on.
Yeah, basically, you'll just miss some Easter eggs and reference, maybe.
Yeah, you're just missing some Easter eggs, in a way. Yeah.
I have a question. So you mentioned that. So there's this one guy who is logged in 24/7 to this game, and all the others are normal players. This guy doesn't realize that it's a game, right?
Not at first, no.
Oh, because he sees the other login logout, he doesn't like, oh my god, this person just disappeared in front of me.
Well, because he works within the confines of the game. I mean, his class is a wave master. That's what they're called. It's basically a mage. But you know, because it's if you've played any kind of MMO, people can port. You know, I mean, not like in WoW you can't, but in say like Final Fantasy, you have Aetherites. You know, in fast travel. So, you know, porting from point A to point B is a common thing in their world. So, you know, for them, if they're like, oh, I need to go to the city, I can just port from here to here, you know, using portals and whatnot. Yeah, so if somebody logs out, to him, it just appears as somebody porting somewhere else. And he's like, okay, they're gone. But he doesn't realize that they cease to exist in the world. It's just they cease to exist in front of him.
And he can instant message them and all and...
I don't think he has access to that. I think I don't think he has access to anything. Okay. It's basically the world becomes his world, and he, yeah.
Ah, okay, he can't see the forums and all.
No. He can't see those. If he goes to, like, I think maybe if he goes to, like, a market board, you know, if somebody posts something on the market board, he can read that because it's on a market board. But if it's anything that's not physically present in the game, I don't think he has access to it. So it has to be something that has some sort of in-game analysis, in-game and an analogous, and it has to have something in game, an in-game mechanic, then he can access it. Yeah. Or she. That's one of the things is that they figured out is the character is male, but then they're at one point they're kind of speculating like we don't necessarily know that the player is male, so that's part of the mystery is like literally you have no idea what this person looks like. It's not like Sword Art Online; they don't look like who they are in real life. They are the character, so literally you have zero clues as to who it could be. And I think in some cases, I think in like Luminality or something like that, there's cases where you know. People are playing as a female, but it's actually a male player, or a person is playing as a male, but there's actually a female player. And so, you know, in game, you have basically you just have to look for rumors that somebody's passed out in the real world under mysterious circumstances and kind of, you know, talk to their friends and see if they played this game and whatnot. So there's a bit of detective work in there.
As a little digression, I just wanted to say for two people who don't really like Sword Art Online or something like this, say keep watching at least until the arc of the sleeping knights, just to show you that you know sometimes manga and anime can affect your real life. After the sleeping knights, I started to give every year to the children hospital because I was so into the story and I found it so sad and terrible that, you know, it really affected me in real life. So it's okay. It's not just for children. You can watch. It's fine. Because I have a lot of people judging, you're watching cats. Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes I really have great stories. So it's all right. Don't be ashamed of watching this.
Yeah, I've heard people say that if you want to watch Sword Art Online, just watch the series that start with A, like Alicization or something like that. They're like, if it starts with the letter A, it's good. If it doesn't start with the letter A, it's bad.
No. That depends. There's a lot of arcs. The first arc is cool because that's one that everybody knows. As you said, you know, when they are stuck inside and it's like a death game. Arc 2 and 3 are crap. They're really bad. Arc 4 is the one I was talking about, Sleeping Knights, which is the best that I've ever seen. And after that, you have Alicization, which is cool. It is nice. It's, you can watch it, but it's far below Sleeping Knights. Far below. Even if it's good, but it's still better than the original story.
I've seen all of one episode of Sword Art Online. And it was randomly in the middle.
Well, I think people stop because, you know, like it's like Bleach, you know, the first season, the second season are great. And after that, it's like, oh, it's too much. No, please. It's going nowhere. Please stop.
Yeah, that's a habit.
Kill the show.
Yeah, that's exactly. They milk the cash cow and it's just like, oh, no, you should have stopped after one season. That's what makes Cowboy Bebop so great. They ended and they're like, we're done. We're not going to milk this.
No. Did you see the live.
No.
It's great.
Is it great? I've heard it. I've heard mixed. A lot of people like it and a lot of people hate it. And it got canceled already for season 2. So
loved it.
It's really?
Canceled? Season 2 is canceled?
Yep. Season 2 has been canceled. They are not going to do a season 2. It was not successful enough.
That's really depressing news because honestly, and I love Cowboy Bebop. And I can tell you it's extremely well adapted and I really liked it. It's far better than what they did with Alita Battle Angel.
Really? I liked Alita Battle Angel. I thought that was great.
Alita was great, but it doesn't respect the original work by the fact that the city is just too safe, too clean. If you read the manga, you know that you can die for no reason just over the street.
People are dying left and right in the thing.
It's far too clean. It's far too clean. For me, it's not dangerous enough. It doesn't reflect the dangerousity of this world. But anyway, it's far better than Alita for me, at least. It's our gun, if you know it under this name, or what they did with Kenshin. You know, they did a live action of Kenshin.
I've heard that's really good. You didn't like the live action Kenshin? I've heard that one's really good.
Oh no, I hated it.
Really?
And on the other side, I was like, oh, this Cowboy Bebop is so cool, especially the guy, the characters, like, except Vicious, the bad guy. I think there's an error in casting there. But the main crew, they're really, really, really good.
It changed Faye so much.
because she's lesbian.
Not just that, no. But I mean, like, her personality and stuff. Like, she's cursing all the time now, and She's kind of like the annoying little sister character. And
no, I think she's. I think what they did is good because you know the original Cowboy Bebop, right?
Of course, I have it on DVD.
So you know Ed, you know.
Yeah.
Adapt her in real life. It's what they did at the very end of the last episode of the
I've seen that part. I watched that clip.
And you're like, yes, that's why you need an adaptation. Because sometimes you can't just take the character from a series and put it in real life because it just doesn't work. And this like five minutes, not even 5 minutes, 2 minutes that you see Ed, you're like, oh God, this character is sick. They missed it completely. And that they adapted Faye, I don't mind because she works in the world that they created for the series. And the one who didn't like it, pass the anime. You know, it's an adaptation. They can't, you know, be stuck within the bounds of the anime. They have to take liberties. And the liberties they took, I really like them. I really found it fantastic. My opinion, I don't care. I don't give a shit if you don't like it. I loved it. And it was fun. And that there's no season two. I feel sad, but at the same time, that means I'm not going to see the Ed character, which is really not good. And at this point, it's maybe good. And on that topic, Witcher the series season two is coming very soon. I think next week.
Witcher comes soon. Yeah. I was kind of surprised by Witcher. I was expecting kind of like a Game of Thrones kind of thing. And then I was like, oh, no, wait, this is more like 1960s Batman. It's kind of like cheesy and it's just all about like having fun with it. It's not like dark and gritty.
I was really mixed with it because I really wanted to love it. You know, there were so many references and little stuff like, oh, it's going to be fantastic. And sometimes I'm like, Nilfgaard costumes are crap. There's lots of things which are like, it's a bit, really, they took influence from Game of Thrones when they just shouldn't have.
But
that was good and bad. And the fact that they did a season two with apparently way more budget and apparently they corrected the costume and all, I really want to see because I really like the witches story. I saw that the witches were really well put in the first season, and I just realized that it's already quite late and we have some news to talk about.
Not too much. I mean, we don't really have any news.
Degration.
Yeah, we don't have any real news. We have. We're just gonna talk a bit about the Game Awards. So the Game Awards were this past week or last week? Recent.
Last week.
Yeah, last week. So they were.
Because we like precision.
They were recent. So they were between last episode and this episode. So we're just going to talk about them a bit because we don't really have any too much other news. But so some surprising results. The best game, where is it? Best game. The game of the year was It Takes Two, which I've seen some really mixed reactions. I mean, like I've heard a lot of people saying like, what is this game? I've never heard of this game. And I'm like, how have you not heard about this game? It's been all over the news all year. Everyone talks about this game
so much.
And I think
agree so much.
Yeah, it's like, how could you have not heard of this? Like, come on, seriously. But I think that's cool. I think it's interesting that, you know, it wasn't your typical kind of game. This was an experiment. You know, let's do a co-op game that requires two people and then everything. And I think maybe that's part of the reason why a lot of people didn't hear about it. It's because it's not your typical, you know, it's not a shooter, it's not an RPG. It is very much a co-op game, and if you don't have somebody to play with, so
it's a co-op puzzle game, and there's so much love into it. Honestly, find a friend, play it. He really deserves it. I really, really, really love this game. Like Game of the Year, totally, I agree.
I mean, I haven't played it, but looking at the reviews and looking at what people have said and looking at gameplay of it, I'm like, okay, yeah, I like that, you know. And then looking at the other options there, Deathloop, you know, that had a lot of mixed reactions. Metroid Dread, you know, it's good, but I don't know if that would be considered a Game of the Year kind of game. Psychonauts 2, the only other one that I think maybe Ratchet and Clank, but that's only on PlayStation. So, you know, it kind of feels weird to say Game of the Year is only accessible by a corner of the market. I think the only other game that had it was even competition was maybe Resident Evil Village. I think was probably the only game that
could have won.
Competed.
Because it was very good.
Yeah, so I think it was down, but it was down to those two, and I'm perfectly happy with either one. So, what I thought was really weird was what was it? The player's voice. Yeah, okay. So the player's voice winner. So basically, players got to choose, vote for their own game, and got to pick which game they thought would be, you know, their game of the year. Because obviously, the game of the last year, that was one of the big things, was The Last of Us 2. Got a lot of nominations and a lot of, but then the player's choice was Ghost of Tsushima, and a lot of people wanted Ghost of Tsushima to win, myself included.
Great,
yeah. So I really thought that one should have won, but of course it didn't. And so the players this year voted for Halo Infinite, which was really a bizarre choice because when the Game Awards voting occurred, Halo Infinite, the multiplayer beta, had only been out for 3 weeks, and the campaign had not even been released, and then this game is voted player choice, and it's how many people had played this game? So it was, and nobody had actually played the full game, you know, they'd only played the beta of the multiplayer, so for that to be a player's choice, I think is a really odd choice. I don't know, maybe it is great, maybe I haven't really played it, but I mean, for me, it just seems
like
a really bizarre.
I'm sure the aura of the series and the previous opus worked a lot into.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people were saying that this might just be, you know, because when it came out or when they were doing the voting, Halo Infinite was very much flavor of the month. It was very much the thing that had just come out. So all these people are playing it. It's fresh in their minds. You know, they're like, oh yeah, this game is great. Of course, it's game of the year. So there was a bit of a timing bias there. But I haven't played it. I don't know. But yeah, so some of the other ones, best mobile game was Genshin Impact.
God, I'm sorry.
Nope.
Okay.
Genshin Impact. Yeah, I was looking at it too. I was like, oh, is it going to be Lord? No, it's not Lord of the Rings. It's not the one we've been playing. Yeah. Best RPG was Tales of Arise.
So, in backlog. And I didn't talk about it today because I don't like to be spoiled too much, which is why I didn't choose it because I would have no idea where to start.
Yep. Best narrative was Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. So I've heard good things about that, especially after the Avengers game. A lot of people were, they did not want to. Yeah, they were very wary of this one, but, you know, a lot of people were very happy with it. So I don't know. That might be one worth picking up. Best multiplayer was It Takes Two, obviously.
Yeah.
Let's see what other ones we've Beth Adley most. And most anticipated, of course, everyone's probably heard about this one, Elden Ring. For the second year in a row, it is the most anticipated game, which is kind of funny because I mean it was the most anticipated game last year because it was supposed to be released this year, but then it got delayed and so it was in the runnings again and got to win twice in a row. So
you can see them at From Software like, we really have to release it now. Come on.
If they don't release it this coming year, it's going to become the new meme and it's just going to get voted every year just for the sake of that.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. What really kind of, the only thing that really kind of surprised me other than the Halo thing, because I would have thought like that would have made more sense to go into next year's nominees. I don't know why they put it in this year. I would have saved it for next year. But then when, for best role-playing game, when Cyberpunk 2077 was on there and a lot of people were saying like, oh yeah, Cyberpunk should win. And it was like, why would you nominate that as the best game? I mean, people say it's really great if you can play it. And for me, it's one of those things where it's like, and I guess this is the difference between, doing something where the players are the voters and doing something where the critics are the voters. Because the critics are obviously going to play the game at its optimum. But when it comes to players, it's like, okay, we're going to play a game that half the people, or maybe even more than half the people that bought it, it was not even, it couldn't even play it. It was not in a playable state at all. And we're going to release this as the best RPG of the year. So when you go to critics, they're not looking at that. They're just looking at like, what was the story in its optimal state? You know, what was this supposed to be? So I think that, for me, seemed like an odd choice. I don't think I would have nominated Cyberpunk. From what I've heard, it is really good if you have a PC that can run it. But I mean, yeah, I wouldn't say that the best game is a game that only the elite can play. Maybe that's just me.
That's also why I never considered buying it, because As I said, I have a 1660S as a graphic card, and I don't think I would be able to run it. Simply, simple as that.
Yeah.
Or if I could, I would run it with low settings, and it would be disgusting. And what's the point? I'd like to have my optimal experience.
Yeah, I've debated getting it on PS5. I don't know if they. I think they put it back up. Oh, you know, they did, but there's no PS5 version of the game yet. There's only the PS4 version. So I was thinking about was waiting until they release, because they're still going to release a PS5 upgrade of the Witcher 3, which I'm not going to play because I played the original Witcher and put 200 and something hours into it. And I'm like, I am not ready for another 200 hour game.
with a DLC and all?
Yeah, I got the Game of the Year edition. But yeah, I put 200 hours into it and I'm like, I played through everything. Do I need to play through everything again just for a graphical upgrade? Yeah. So, you know, Witcher 4, sure. But just a graphical upgrade of Witcher 3? No, I did that.
Do you think they'll do a Witcher 4?
Oh, of course. That's their cash cow. Why would they not? That's like asking if you think Bethesda is going to make another Elder Scrolls? Of course they are.
Because they follow books, and I don't know where the
but books the Witcher are. Games, the Witcher 3 takes place after the books. It doesn't follow the books. Yeah, it takes place after the books. Okay. I think the first Witcher game followed the books, and because I have a friend who's really into the books, and he read all the books and he played all the games, and I think he said the first game takes place in the book. The second one, I don't remember if the second one is part of the books. I think the second one takes you up to the end of the last book, I think. But The Witcher 3 is entirely outside the books. It takes place after the books.
Okay. So,
yeah. Because I think that was one of the things, as they say in the books, it's left ambiguous as to whether they died and went to... Because they go to, like, Avalon or something, right? I think. I don't know. But it's left ambiguous as to whether they died and now they're in paradise or they're alive. And
it's very far away. I can't remember.
Yeah. So it's left extremely vague as to what happened to them. And then obviously with the games, they went with the nope, they're definitely still alive. So, all right. Well, I guess that's about it for today. We don't really have anything else to talk about. There's no other news, really. It was kind of a dry week, but hey, you know, with the Game Awards going on, I think that was probably the focus of everybody else. Oh no, Antoine looks like he still wants to say something here.
Just before finishing the show, we just reached today our 800 subscribers on YouTube, so I wanted to say thanks a lot for following us and keep it up, because in 1000 subscriber we are doing a special Vermintide 2 event. That's it.
All right, yeah, so 800 subscribers on YouTube, which means that I can only assume that between YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch, we have over 1,000 subscribers. But I'd have to do the math on that. I can only assume. So, yeah, so yay for us. All right. Unfortunately, Phil can't be here to celebrate, considering that a lot of them came for Rise to War. So,
a lot of the ring.
Yeah. So credit where credit is due, yeah. All right, and with that, we don't have a theme yet for next week, but next week is going to be Christmas, I believe, right? Yeah, right before, so probably something Christmassy. All right, and with that, I will leave you guys and catch you again next week. So, bye, everyone.
Have a good night.